Hare Krishna, thank you all so much for coming. We're so grateful that you're here. So today is the first day of our session at Bhakti Shastri here in Vrindavan. And we're really, really honored and grateful that His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj took time from his extremely busy schedule to be here again. We had the first session of the course in 2007. And the idea was to continue the next summer, but we couldn't do it without Maharaj. So we had to wait 4 years until we could come back. But as we know, in front of 500 devotees in person, and in front of Radha Vrindavan Chandra and Srila Prabhupada, and 1,500 devotees on the internet, Maharaj promised he's going to be here next year. So we
but I said that's for the 24-hour kit.
For the tour.
Anyway, yeah, sure.
We'll schedule the course again right after the 24-hour kirtan so that Maharaj can easily stay on and teach the next portion of the course, and we hope you'll also come back. And Mother Nanda is here. We're so grateful to have her here as well. She teaches Bhakti Shastri in Mayapur, and I've never had the good fortune of taking her classes, but I can tell you that I've heard from so many students about how incredibly touched they were by her classes, not only because she's a great scholar, but because she really teaches from the heart. She really imparts realized knowledge to her students, so please take advantage of the opportunity to have her association. She'll be here for 3 weeks, and to learn as much as you can from her. And we'd really like to thank Her Grace Malathi Devi, who makes everything happen in more ways than I could count right now. She is always the hand behind everything. We were joking, once a devotee asked me, they wanted to honor her, and they said, well, can you tell me what she does exactly? What is this? I said, well, she's the GBC of New Vrindavan. They said, well, what does that mean? What does a GBC do? I said, well, I don't know how to explain to you what a GBC does, but I can tell you what she does. You know, she oversees the spiritual standards, which is what Prabhupada wanted the GBCs to do, to make sure we're adhering to his teachings. And, you know, she oversees the management just to make sure everything's going in the right direction. She mediates between devotees. She changes the toilet paper when there's none in the bathroom. And, you know, she cleans the prasadam hall when no one else does it. She cooks if there's no one to cook. But so, you know, she has the sound system when you need one, 5 minutes before the program starts. She knows how to put together absolutely everything, and sometimes I can just imagine what a powerhouse she must have been with Srila Prabhupada, and why Srila Prabhupada entrusted her with so much responsibility, because she just somehow seems to know how to do absolutely everything. So we're so grateful that she's supporting this course and making it happen. And we're so grateful to all of you that you're willing to take so much time from your schedules to come here, and it really shows such a beautiful commitment to Srila Prabhupada's instructions and the desire to study from his books. Those of you who are full-time students, I've already given you a syllabus. There may be others who are planning to take the course full-time, but I don't know that yet. So at the end of the class, if you can please come and see me, if we haven't connected about the fact that you're going to take the class full-time, or if I didn't give you one of these papers. There are just a few things here with the schedule. Maharaj, can I go over it briefly? So Maharaj will be with us until Wednesday, the 22nd. These 3 days, Maharaj will be speaking in this room from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. From 10:55 to 1 o'clock, please be here by 10:55 or before. If you're not here by 10:59 at the latest, we request you not to come in. And if you're a full-time student, that means it'll count against your final results in the class. There'll be a sign-up sheet on the desk, which you'll need to sign into if you're a full-time student. So you obviously can't do that after the class has started. If you come after 10:59, we'll consider that you're absent for half the class. If you come after 11:10, then you're fully absent for the class. And even after 10:59, it should be a really good reason. This was a policy that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had, to always be 5 minutes early. Is that right, Maharaj? For every appointment, please. You know, it's just, I know Maharaj would often say to devotees, what time do you go when you go to watch a movie? Do you show up half an hour after it started? So, let's honor the words of our acharyas a little more than, you know, the words of Hollywood or whatever it might be. So please come early. Not on time, but early. And then from Thursday onwards, Mother Nanda will be speaking here in this room from 11 to 1 and then 4 to 6 every day. And that will go through Wednesday, July the 6th. That's Nectar of Devotion. We'll be covering the first 19 chapters. And on the 7th and 8th, we'll be helping Malati Devi with the New Vrindavan Rath Yatra, which is on Saturday. So that will be our little bit of contribution to everything that New Vrindavan is providing for us to do this course. And Monday, July 11th to Friday, July 15th, will be Nectar of Instruction with Braja Vihari Prabhu. And then Monday, July 18th to Friday, July 29th, will be Sri Ishvanishad with Mother Lakshmimoni. That is our course. We'll be having a graduation ceremony for those who are graduating on the 30th for returning students. And other than that, you'll get the syllabus. It's very simple. Attendance is really important in the course. That also includes the full morning program. That's a part of your course attendance, from Mangal Arati through Bhagavatam class. If you can, please come to the evening arati. I have a really hard time asking anyone to come because I go to sleep at 6:30, so to me 7 o'clock is the middle of the night. If you can, if you're awake at that time and you've completed your studies, please also come to the evening program. Homework should be turned in the day it's requested to be turned in, when the instructors ask for it to be turned in. Please stack it neatly on the instructor's desk when you come in. If it's late, it's at the instructor's discretion whether they choose to accept it or not. Even if they do, it will be marked down. Some are probably more lenient than others. And code of conduct, I'm sure you're all familiar, you're all wonderful Vaishnavas, so you know we all treat each other with respect and kindness. And please don't speak out of turn, just raise your hand if you have a comment and allow the instructor to recognize you before you speak. And general conduct, please remember that New Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada said that it's non-different from Vrindavan Dham, so conduct yourself as you would in the holy Dham, in the way that you interact with the pilgrims, with the residents, and in the way you dress yourself. Please dress in devotional attire, preferably saris and dhotis. Generally, please, you know, try to appreciate this opportunity that you have to be here in this very sacred place, studying this very sacred literatures. And whenever you have the time, take part in the community programs, render service to the DTs. You can ask the temple president, Jai Krishna Prabhu, or Malati Devi, or our head pujari, Mother Vani, how you can be of service. Mother Vijay Radha and Mother Sachi Kripa, who are there. They're both wonderful pujaris, and I'm sure they'd be very happy to engage you in service. Lalita Gopi, who is just behind them there, she's our cowherd girl. And so if you'd like to go and milk the cows or brush the cows, help in the cow barn, I'm sure she'll be happy to engage you. Thank you all very much for coming. If I can serve you in any way at any time, please feel free to ask. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
I'd just also like to express my gratitude for all of you for coming to New Vrindavan to attend the sacred course, and my immense gratitude to His Holiness Bhakti Guru Maharaj for agreeing to come once again after such a long time. I'd almost lost hope. And my gratitude to Radha Sundari for pushing the buttons to make it happen. And to Nanda and Lakshmimoni and Braja Vihari as they come for helping make this a happening event. This is another type of festival. It's a festival of the heart and mind. So please accept it gratefully, and I'm sure the benefits will be immense. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to encourage you all to take advantage of the opportunity that you have, that you've chosen in your life to take some time out to do this Shastric study. You'll find that in your own personal reading or studying of Srila Prabhupada's books, it's very purifying and very special. But when you study in a group, that potency is increased exponentially. So here we have the opportunity to study together as a group. We have the opportunity that we're in a sacred place, and we have such nice association, and so the opportunity is very great. So please take advantage of this opportunity that you've allowed yourself to do and that you're being given by the facility of New Vrindavan. And you'll find that because you have such wonderful teachers such as Maharaj, and in spite of the fact that you might not have such qualified teachers, still you'll get the most benefit by studying together and sharing your realizations and hearing in a group association. You'll get a very nice taste if you apply yourself fully, so please do that. And this taste, we're hoping, will sustain you and will actually increase in your lives, so that you actually won't be able to have any time in your devotional career that you're not anxious to hear from Srila Prabhupada in his books. Hare Krishna.
Now I request all of you to introduce yourselves one by one. Who are you? What's your name? Which temple or which area you're from? And first I'll introduce myself. First introduce Mother Krishna Priya, myself. Mother Krishna Priya is a wonderful devotee from North Carolina. She has been involved in ISKCON for many, many years, and she has many wonderful contributions to our movement. We are so happy to have you here, Mother Krishna Priya. Hare Krishna.
I would just like to make an additional request that you stand when you introduce yourself, because for those in the back, they can associate your wonderful Vaishnava face with your voice also. Okay? Everyone, not just you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, I'm Bhakti and Jennifer. I'm from New Orleans, and I also spent a lot of time at New Taliban Farm in the city. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Kimberly Cotton, and I'm from the San Antonio, Texas temple. And, yeah.
How did you get here, Kimberly? How did you get to Vrindavan?
Well, I'm so fortunate and blessed to be able to serve Mahasi Prabhu, and that's how I came to Vrindavan, and then luckily so happened to be crossing over with Bhakti Sastra courses happening, so it's in that double, triple blessing.
Chai.
And all glory to Mahasi Prabhu for letting me serve her, or else I wouldn't be here.
Hare Krishna. My name is Hanan, originally from Israel. The last 10 years I'm in Gainesville, Florida, helping with the LASH program.
Hanan Prabhu is actually the manager of the Krishna LASH program, and since he's taken over, they've tripled their distribution. They distribute 900 plates, more than 900 plates of prasadam every single day, and they've something like quadrupled their profits. They started charging four times as much and somehow still kept distributed three times more than they used to at the same price.
My name is Tariq, and I'm also from Israel originally. I'm against the
Are you married to anybody today?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Yes, I'm happy to be married.
My name is Bhakti Adam, and I'm from Tampa, Florida. I found Krishna in Laguna Beach in 1999, and Krishna brought me here.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Bhakti Puneet. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I ended up here kind of by chance, sort of, the blessing. I'd lost my job in May, and I didn't know what to do, so a friend of mine was a devotee, said, come stay here for a while, and it turned out that coincided with the Bhakti Shastri program and the Bhakti program, so very happy to hear.
Hare Krishna, I'm Arjun, and I'm from Michigan. I came here for the Festival of Inspiration
and I really got inspired. and I'm staying here at least for this summer because I'm a student. I have to go back for the fall semester, and I got this opportunity to join in this program. I really appreciate, like, everyone is doing great service here, and I hope, like, Krishna's mercy will be always there. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. My name is Savinda Mohini. I'm from South Africa, and I'm doing service here at New Vrindavan.
Hare Krishna. My name is Sachikripa Chandrika, and I am a pujari at New Vrindavan.
Hare Krishna, my name is Vijaya Radha Devadasi, and by the mercy of Sri Siddhartha Vrindavan Chandra, I started from 7 years.
I'm Shakti Bhati, and I live in Vrindavan, and I'm here my whole life.
To be here by the mercy of Sri Krishna and Malati Prabhu, that I can spend a week here, and it just happened to be during Dr. Shashri Kogan, so I get to attend some of these classes.
Hi Krishna, my name is Stephen. I live in Philadelphia for the past 10 years. I'm originally from Pittsburgh.
Hare Krishna, I'm Rajarshi Das. I'm based in Trinidad, but I preach in the Caribbean, and I'm here for the second time by Krishna's mercy to do Bhakti Shastra.
Okay. Hare Krishna, my name is Paramatma Das. I'm from Guyana, and I'm very happy to be here. Again, I was always dreaming, and it's a dream come true to be back after the last session.
Hi Krishna, my name is Ratna Radhika from North Carolina.
Hare Krishna, my name is Aditya Narayan Das, and I'm from North Carolina.
Hare Krishna, I'm Shubhadasi from Laguna Beach. Hare Krishna, Laguna Beach. We're sitting in for the first 3 days and benefiting from Maharaj's instruction and your association.
My name is Rita, and I'm here in Uganda.
Hey Krishna, I'm Anjali, also from Laguna Beach, California. And I'm blessed to be here, to care for the 24-hour kirtan and for the course party, and then we'll be going to judge for the retreat with Maharaj. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, I'm Kirti. I'm from New Jersey. And I came here for 24 hours kirtan, and my devotee of Guru Maharaj and my husband Nalan Chandra. It's happening that I'm attending this course. But again, I'll be attending in half because I'll also be going to Raj for Maharaj's retreat.
Hare Krishna, I'm Yogananda, and I currently live in Illinois.
Hare Krishna, I'm Chimukhili Dasi, and I'm living here in Uttarakhand.
Hare Krishna, my name is Sveta Manji, and I come from Laguna Beach, California.
Hare Krishna, my name is Michael, and I've been here at New Vrindavan for a month.
Hare Krishna, my name is Krishna Chaitanya Das. I'm the scientist of my Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Charitamrita.
Hi Krishna, my name is Sudama, and also from Laguna Beach, California.
Hare Krishna, my name is Saurabh. I'm from London, but now I'm based in Iskcon of Jain.
Hare Krishna, my name is also Arjuna. I'm from London, and I'm traveling with His Holiness Bhakti Charitamrita Swami.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I'm very happy to get to know you all, and I'm really looking forward to spending next few days with you. Thank you. Now at the beginning of the class, we will sing the prayers to the six Goswamis, one stanza from the prayers to the six Goswami. It's at the beginning of the book of Nectar of Devotion. I presume everybody has a Nectar of Devotion with you. Make it a point to have this book. Is it available in the bookshop? No? Because it's important that when you're studying this book, you have a book. How many of you do not have the how many of you do not have? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, one easy way of getting access to Nectar of Devotion is go to the Vedavesh. How many of you have Vedavesh in the computer? How many of you have computers, those who don't have the books? Okay, so in the computer you have it, in the Vedavesh, and get a printout. Can you, Saraswati, can you help them out to print it out? Okay, how many, let's see again, please raise your hand, how many of you don't have? Quite a few of you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, so do you want to have a copy? Okay, Radha Sundari, you can
sure.
Make the copy.
You can just see me. If you're actually staying for the book first, and you need to get a copy of the book.
And for that, you have to pay the price of printing and a penalty for not having it. And that money will go to the New Vrindavan Temple. Make it a point.
What is the penalty for not having the book?
That you decide in consultation with them.
Okay.
So this goes like, this is from Sat Goswami Ashtakam by Srinivas Acharya. It is, it goes like, this is I think the fourth verse of Sat Goswami Ashtakam. Nana shastra vichare naika nipuno saddharma sangsthapako lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane manno sharanna karo. Radha Krishna padagavinda bhajanandena mattaliko bande rupa sanatano raghujugo shrijiva gopalako. Translation: I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizing and studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Nana shastra vichare naika nipuno sadharma sansthapako. Nana shastra vichare Nana shastra vicharena ika nipuno sadharma sansthapako. Lokanam hitakarino tribhuvani mannau sharanna Goswami and Sri Jiva Goswami ki.
Jai.
Six Goswamis ki.
Jai.
Bhaur Premanandi. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Hare Krishna. So we all are here today to study Srila Prabhupada's books very methodically, as Srila Prabhupada himself has suggested through these courses like Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, then Bhakti, after Bhakti Vaibhav is Bhakti Vedanta? Yeah, Bhakti Vedanta and then Bhakti Sarvabhauma. So, this Prabhupada was very emphatic about studying his books scrutinizingly, systematically. not just study, not just read, but study. When the reading is more intense, more in-depth, more profound, and more systematic, then it becomes study. Prabhupada didn't just want us to study his books, rather he wanted us to very scrutinizingly study his books. Because what Srila Prabhupada gave is of prime importance for not only this world, but the entire universe. Can you imagine this, the informations that Srila Prabhupada gave is not available even in the heavenly planets. Not only in heavenly planets, these informations are not available even in Vaikuntha planet. Why? Because Vaikuntha planet has the understanding of Krishna, Narayan, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there they do not have the understanding of Krishna of Vrindavan. It is kept as a secret. Why? Because generally the relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes place in two specific mellows, two specific relationships, neutrality and servitorship. In Vaikuntha, the relationships are based, all the devotees' relationship with Narayan is based on these two mellows, Shanta and Dasya. But beyond Shanta Ras and Dasya Ras, there are three other positive mellows. They are friendship, parental and conjugal. Now friendship means the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes a friend, or one becomes a friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One gets the Lord as his friend. Now friendship takes place between the equals. So in order to become a friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to become equal to him. Now how is it possible for anyone to become equal to God? Okay, now at least friendship takes place between equals, but what about parental? In parental relationship, the object becomes subordinate, like Krishna becomes subordinate to his devotee. The object of love becomes subordinate to the lover. So here, in order to develop parental love, we can see that a devotee has to become superior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is it possible for anyone to become superior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And then conjugal, a loving relationship just like between a young boy and a young girl. Now how that kind of relationship is possible to develop with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But in order to make it happen, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all rasas, Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the embodiment of all the mellows. Now these are the mellows of relationship, these are the mellows of loving exchange. So how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the reservoir of all mellows, not have these three kind of relationships? So in order to make these three relationships happen, the Lord is in Vrindavan. Krishna in Vrindavan develops a very special kind of arrangement. Okay, what kind of arrangement? No one can become equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead can come down and become equal to somebody. No one can become superior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can come down and become junior or subordinate to somebody. So that is the special arrangement of Vrindavan. That's why Vrindavan escaped as a secret. Vrindavan is not revealed. Only once in a day of Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes and reveals his Vrindavan pastimes. And then he considered that how will anyone ever understand Vrindavan mellows? And that's why he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us the understanding or enable us to enter into Vrindavan. So Krishna makes a very special arrangement by coming as Sri Chaitanya. It is only by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that we could understand Vrindavan, the secret of Vrindavan, pastimes of the Lord. And then Srila Prabhupada came and distributed this mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Now this is how rare this wealth is, this wealth of knowledge is. As it is, the spiritual knowledge is very important. Spiritual knowledge is very important to receive from a bona fide, it is very important to receive spiritual knowledge from a bona fide source. Because spiritual knowledge is beyond our sense perception. Spiritual reality is beyond our sense perception. With our senses, we can only perceive the material reality. That also only a part of it. So, spiritual reality, how it will be revealed to anybody? As Mother Nanda mentioned during her speech, revealed scriptures. Prabhupada gave the importance of the revealed scriptures. Now, what is the revealed scriptures? Why these scriptures are called revealed? They are called revealed because it comes as a revelation. It is not something that we can intellectually conceive. It happens. It is revealed within the heart. Don't you sing every day, Divya Gyan, Hriday Prakashita? The transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart by the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master. So there is a difference between intellectual assimilation of knowledge and revelation of the spiritual reality in the heart. It's a revelation of a reality. It is there. This is the absolute reality. Therefore, it is so important to properly receive this knowledge. Otherwise, there is no way we can have access to the spiritual. Therefore, at the beginning of creation, Krishna gave this knowledge to Lord Brahma. Do you all know how the Vedas came about? In Brahma Samhita it has been described, Srimad Bhagavatam it has been described also. At the time of creation, Brahma found himself, the first created being Brahma, found himself situated on a lotus. And there was nobody. There was nothing around. Just a lotus and him, and there was a vast expanse of water. Garbha ocean. Nothing there. Nobody. And Brahma didn't have any recollection of his past. He just found himself sitting there and no memory of the past. But he was fully conscious. And he began to wonder. It's something like wake up in a dream, wake up one morning and find yourself in a place, new place, and nobody is around there, and you don't have any remembrance of your past, who you are, where you came from. So Brahma began to wonder, who am I? And then he thought that if he climbed down the stem of the lotus, if he reached the bottom of the lotus, then he would find out who he is, where he came from. But he didn't succeed in doing that also, in spite of a great long endeavor. And then finally Brahma came back and sat down wondering what to do. Then the Lord inspired him from within that internalize your senses, internalize your consciousness, internalize your search. All this while Brahma was trying to find out his identity externally. But now he withdrew his consciousness and projected his consciousness internally. And then he heard the sound of Krishna's flute. And what was the sound? The sound was Gayatri. And again he was inspired from within to meditate upon the Gayatri. And meditating upon the Gayatri, that transcendental knowledge was revealed in Brahma's heart. And that transcendental knowledge is the Vedas. So in this way Brahma received this knowledge from Krishna. When there was nobody to impart the knowledge actually revealed from within his heart. Then Brahma imparted the knowledge to his son, Narada Muni. And in this way, through a disciplic succession, this knowledge is flowing. This knowledge is flowing in an unbroken chain of disciplic succession. And we got it from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada arranged this knowledge in such a way that the whole world can have it in the form of his books. This knowledge is so profound, so vast, so expansive that Prabhupada had to write so many books. And Prabhupada himself said that he gave everything in his books. It is not that now that Prabhupada has left, we have to go somewhere else to search for this knowledge. No, there is no need for that. Everything is there in Prabhupada's books. And ultimately, Prabhupada gave the process. If we follow the process, then the knowledge will be revealed. That is the way it is received. So Prabhupada gave, there are two things, two very unique presentation of Srila Prabhupada. One is his books and his institution, ISKCON. This ISKCON is designed by Prabhupada in such a way that it will continue to spread Krishna consciousness, continue Prabhupada's mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world in every town and village through this institution. And that institution is founded, the institution is structured on the books. Books are the basis. Prabhupada gave four principles, right? Preaching is the essence. What is the purpose of our mission? What is Prabhupada's mission? Prabhupada's mission is preaching. Spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And the basis of that is our Prabhupada's books. The basis of that is Srila Prabhupada's books. And then purity is the force. The more pure we become, the more effective our preaching will be. Purity is the force. It is not that by our some mechanical or technical means we will be able to preach effectively. The simple way to effectively preach is our internal purity. The purer we become, more effective our preaching will be. Purity is the force. And utility is the principle. Whatever it takes, let's use it. Utility is the principle. Whatever is needed for spreading Krishna consciousness, let's use it. And that's the meaning of Sankirtan. The broader meaning of the word Sankirtan. Sankirtan, the word Sankirtan is actually a combination of two letters. Two words. Sammak Kirtan. Sammak means total and Kirtan means glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Total glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Which apparently means collectively sing the glory of the Lord. But there is another broader meaning to that, that is using everything in order to spread the glory of the Lord. Therefore we see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur considered his book distribution as Sankirtan. And in that Sankirtan, just what is his Mridanga in that Sankirtan? Printing press is his Mridanga. And he explained that when the books are distributed, when the books are printed and the books will go to far away places and people will read and the sound of the Sankirtan will reach in that way. Therefore Prabhupada's books are so important. How many of you became devotees just by reading Srila Prabhupada's books? Yeah? Most of us, most of you. In that respect, I remember this book actually made me a devotee. This is the first book I got. And as I started to read, from the very first page, I felt, this is it. And I couldn't stop reading until I fell asleep. And in the morning when I woke up, the first thing I did, pick up the book and start reading. It's an extremely powerful preaching to Prabhupada's books. And so Prabhupada gave the books. And you know how much trouble, how much effort Srila Prabhupada made to translate his books. I had the good fortune of being with Srila Prabhupada. And you know what was Prabhupada's schedule? Even though Prabhupada's health condition was quite bad, Prabhupada used to take rest around 9, 9:30. And Prabhupada used to wake up by 12, 12:30. And we used to set up Prabhupada's translation, the books, the dictaphone, everything. And Prabhupada would wake up, Prabhupada would just walk up to his table. And he would start translating. Throughout the night, Prabhupada would translate. Although his health was not good, health condition was quite critical. Although Prabhupada did not eat anything for months together, even just few days before Prabhupada left the planet, Prabhupada was translating. The 10th canto, Brahma Mohan Leela chapter 13, Prabhupada practically did on his, lying on his bed, just few days before he left the planet. Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor was Pradyumna Prabhu. Pradyumna Prabhu used to read the Sanskrit and Prabhupada used to give the translation. And one of us used to hold the dictaphone, mouthpiece of the dictaphone, the recorder of the dictaphone in front of Prabhupada's mouth. Prabhupada's voice was very, very faint. Still Prabhupada was giving his purports and translation. So this is how much trouble Srila Prabhupada took to translate his books. And Prabhupada himself said that this translation of his books, his purports, etc., they are actually an expression of his ecstasy. Prabhupada's translation is an expression of Prabhupada's ecstasy. Prabhupada was seeing Krishna face to face and the feeling that he had, that he has presented in his Bhaktivinoda purport. And sometimes Prabhupada said that he feels surprised that he translated it. He could believe that he did it. Meaning, actually, it is Krishna who did that translation. Krishna who actually gave this purports, this translation. This is how wonderful Srila Prabhupada's books are. This is how important Srila Prabhupada's books are. And we have access to these books. And whenever we read this book, don't we get a newer and newer revelations? Don't Prabhupada's books come with newer and newer meaning each time we read them? Bhagavad Gita, how many times we read them? So many times we read. And it's ever fresh. Each time we read, we get a new meaning. New meaning means deeper meaning. Not that we get something new, but we get deeper understanding. Prabhupada mentioned about these courses. Bhakti Shastri is the first one. Then Bhakti Vaibhav. And then Bhakti Vedanta, then Bhakti Sarvabhauma. And Prabhupada said, when one becomes a Bhakti Vedanta, he can give initiation. That was where Prabhupada wrote, I think in 1974, that you study, you become qualified, yes, you become a spiritual master. Actually, Prabhupada wanted everyone to become spiritual master. Prabhupada didn't create ISKCON to make disciples. Prabhupada created ISKCON to make spiritual masters. The real spiritual master doesn't make disciples. He turns his disciples into spiritual masters. That's his mission. That's how this movement is going to spread. And let this movement spread all over the world. And let's do whatever is necessary to do that. Utility of the principle. So, Bhakti Shastri course was taken. I was actually there when the first Bhakti Shastri course was conducted. That was in 1977, Gaur Purnima time. And I was very new devotee. And at that time I was actually serving Srila Prabhupada, so I could not sit for that exam. And I didn't think also it was important to sit. Somehow I didn't really take it as seriously. And especially the way it was conducted. I saw one morning, I just saw that whole lot of devotees were sitting on the balcony, no tables, nothing, on the floor, and they are writing. And I was curious to find what was that. And I was told that this was Bhakti Shastri exams going on. Whatever the devotees knew, they just sat for the exams on that, on the basis of that Bhagavad Gita. And that was the first time the Bhakti Shastri exams were conducted, 77. And then it started to get more and more structured. Then eventually came the Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education, and Vrindavan Institute started to conduct the Bhakti Shastri in a very systematic way. Then came Mayapur Institute of Higher Education. And in this way, now we are also seeing in New Vrindavan, we are getting this Bhakti Shastri course conducted. Various other temples, major temples are conducting, educating and conducting these exams. And so I'll briefly go through the introduction. Now one thing about this course, I will expect that you all read it. Say for example, today we'll just go through the introduction. I will give only two more classes, tomorrow and day after tomorrow. So tomorrow I will, in the 2 hours of classes, I will conduct the chapter 1, chapter 2, and then day after tomorrow I will do chapter 3 and chapter 4. The chapter 1 will deal with the characteristics of pure devotional service, and chapter 2, the first stages of devotion. And chapter 3 is eligibility of candidates for accepting devotional service, and chapter 4, devotional service surpasses all liberations. So please read them yourself first. Read them. Say for example, tomorrow, please, before coming to the class, read the chapter 1 and chapter 2, and then day after tomorrow, chapter 3 and chapter 4. This first wave of nectar of devotion has 19 chapters. So I will cover only 4 chapters, first 4 chapters. And Mother Nanda will cover the remaining 15 chapters. Is there alright?
Yes,
Maharaj. So you come prepared, and we'll briefly discuss about the chapters. But what I would like to have is a lot of interaction, like questions, answers, like things that you, while you are reading, many questions will come to your mind. Many points will be needing clarification. So you come up with the questions and we will discuss. That's how I thought would be the best way to approach this topic. So, at the introduction, as usual, are the cows all right? So, as I... as it is a custom, at the beginning is Mangalacharan, invoking auspiciousness. Prayers to the spiritual master, previous acharyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. Because we are embarking on a spiritual mission. Spiritual mission is not accomplished by material means. Spiritual mission can be accomplished only by spiritual mercy, the mercy of the spiritual personalities, starting from the spiritual master all the way up to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is by their, we must always remember that it is only by their mercy that we will be successful. And then only it becomes a devotional service. In the material nature, we all think that we are the doers. But in actual reality, we are simply puppets in the hands of material nature. We are puppets who are being made to move or made to dance by the modes of material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarva. In this material nature, everything is happening by the arrangement of guna and karma. But ahankaro vimura atma kartaha iti mannate. Being bewildered by his false ego, one thinks that he is the doer. So although we think that we are the doers, we are actually simply puppets in the hands of material nature. And then, when we embark on spiritual activities, when we start rendering devotional service, then we execute that service also not by means of our own ability and endeavor. We execute those service by the mercy of the Lord and His devotees. So that is the most important thing. That is the most important thing to remember about a spiritual life. That we are not the doers. And that is why we always should depend upon the mercy of Krishna and the devotees of the Lord. Please allow me to serve Krishna. Please allow me to do something for Krishna. Not that I am going to do it for Krishna, but please let me do it. We have the desire, but the fulfillment of the desire will come from Krishna, by Krishna's mercy. So, towards the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, introduction, the author of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I'll just tell you, okay, maybe I can just read it down, read it out, and you all just read it, you all just listen, and then later on you can read the introduction, unless you have read it already. The author of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami, very humbly submits that he is just trying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Although he humbly thinks himself unfit for this work, that should be the attitude of all creatures of Krishna consciousness movement. He one feels unqualified and unfit. And he simply depends upon the Lord's mercy. We should never think of ourselves as great preachers, but should always consider that we are simply instrumental to the previous acharyas, and simply by following in their footsteps, we may be able to do something for the benefit of suffering humanity. Do you think it will be easier to read through the book? Should I tell you which part I am reading from? It'll be easier. Okay, I am in introduction, second page of introduction, which is page 20. 20 in what do you call it?
Roman.
X. Yeah, double X. Yeah, okay. And I just read from the third paragraph. Now I'm going to the fourth paragraph. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is divided into four parts. Just as the ocean is sometimes divided into four parts, and there is different sections within each of these four divisions. Okay, now let us consider the meaning of the word Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prabhupada has this. Is Prabhupada translated it as nectar of devotion. But literally it means the ocean of nectar of transcendental mellow of devotion itself. Bhakti rasa, mellow of devotional service. Amrita is nectar. Sindhu, the ocean. Therefore, since here Rupa Goswami compared it to an ocean, the ocean has been divided into four parts. The four parts are east, south, west, north. So the first part is east. It has another significance, you know, this division, because different directions indicate different things. Like east specifically indicates devotion. So that's why this eastern part is very important, which is dealing with pure devotion. The first part, first chapter is, or first part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu out of four parts is eastern division. Not part, yeah, Eastern Division. And the subsections within these different divisions are called waves. Taranga, waves. So there are four different divisions, and then there are different chapters or different waves in those divisions of the ocean. Now I am just going to the last part of this chapter, this paragraph. In the first part there are four waves, the first being the general description of devotional service. The second concerns the regulative principles for executing devotional service, and the third wave, the devotional service in ecstasy. In the fourth is the ultimate goal, love of God. These will be explicitly described along with their different symptoms. So then he is going into actually a definition of first-class devotional service. What is the characteristic of first-class devotional service or uttamadhikar bhakti? How many different types of devotions are there? How many of you remember? Neophyte, and then clearing, neophyte devotee, second class devotee, and first class devotee. So, what is the definition or what is the characteristic of a neophyte devotee? The characteristic of a neophyte devotee is that he is very much on the mundane platform. And as a result of that, he thinks that he is the greatest devotee. He thinks that he is the only devotee. He accepts that Krishna is God. Krishna is God and he is the only devotee. And everyone else is a fake. So that is the characteristic or nature of a neophyte devotee. The second class devotee is the one who recognizes the other devotees. He recognizes, he begins to recognize other devotees, then he comes to a second class platform. And while he recognizes other devotees, he also recognizes that some people are, although they are not devotees, but they are innocent. They don't have the understanding of Krishna consciousness. They are innocent. And some others are offensive. He recognizes the devotee, he recognizes who is innocent and he recognizes who is offensive. And accordingly, he reacts. He has love for Krishna, but he has friendship for Krishna's devotees. He has compassion for the innocent. And he has disregard for the offenders. That's how he reacts. But a first-class devotee, the definition of a first-class devotee, the characteristic of a first-class devotee is that he thinks that everybody else has become pure devotees, only he could become a devotee. So in this way, devotional influence of devotion works in a reverse order. The neophyte devotee thinks he is the greatest devotee, and the greatest devotee thinks that he couldn't even become a devotee. Of course, here Rupa Goswami is giving further clarification of pure devotional service. First class devotional service is known by one's tendency to be fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, serving the Lord favorably. Fully engaged, constantly engaged, favorably. Here he is making a point, just serving the Lord or remembering the Lord is not enough. There are two ways you can approach the Lord or think about the Lord. One is favorably, the other is unfavorably. Ravana also was thinking of Ram. Kamsa also was thinking of Krishna. Kamsa was thinking of Krishna all the time. Even in his sleep he was thinking of Krishna. But will anybody consider Kamsa to be a devotee? No. Why not? Because he was thinking of Krishna in an unfavorable way, in an inimical way. He was thinking of Krishna as his enemy. Therefore, his thinking of Krishna is not devotional service. Then Rupa Goswami is pointing out this devotional service is like cultivation, is a sort of cultivation. Cultivation means continuous practice. It is not just a one-time thing, or it's not a sentimental involvement, though I am a devotee. No, it's a practical involvement. Devotional service is a practical involvement. It is not simply inaction for people who like to be inactive or devote their time in silent meditation. Now, there is a distinct difference between the yogis and the devotees. Yogis just want to meditate. They are not engaged in devotional service. The service, the word service implies that it's activity. You love Krishna and you express your love for Krishna. How? By doing something for Krishna. Therefore, it is devotional service. Then at the end of this page, I'm going page 21. Thus, in our mental activities, we should always try to think of Krishna and try to plan how to please Him, following the footsteps of great acharyas and the personal spiritual master. There are activities of the body, activities of the mind, and activities of speech. These are the three ways we become active. Kaya, man, and bhakya. Kaya means body, man is mind, and bhakya is speech. Now a devotee uses all three in the service of Krishna. By speech, what he does? He preaches Krishna consciousness, he speaks about Krishna. He uses his ability to speak in speaking about Krishna, preaching about Krishna. And how the mind is engaged in Krishna's service? Mind is engaged in Krishna's service by thinking about Krishna. And the body, whatever ability we have to do, whatever we do that for Krishna. Similarly, we can offer many services with our bodily activities, but all such activities must be in relation, must be in relationship with Krishna. This relationship is established by connecting oneself with a bona fide spiritual master who is the direct representative of Krishna in disciplic succession. Therefore, the execution of Krishna conscious activities with the body should be directed by the spiritual master and then performed with faith. Okay, this is actually a very good point, very important point. What constitutes, what causes, what makes some activity as devotional service, pure devotional service, as opposed to any other activity? Generally, what do? We act to please our senses. When we are in a conditioned stage, we act, whatever we do, what is the motivation, what is the purpose? The purpose is sense gratification. And that sense gratification begins to get a touch of spirituality when we act for our sake but offer the result to Krishna. That is called karma yoga. When we act out of our own desire, out of our own volition, out of our independent desire, then that but offer the result to Krishna. Otherwise, we are just doing it for our own sake. That is karma. But when we work, we act, but offer the results to Krishna, then it is called karma yoga. But when we act by the instruction of the spiritual master or the devotees, then it is devotional service. That's the difference between karma yoga and devotional service, as it has been pointed out. Therefore, the execution of Krishna conscious activities with the body should be directed by the spiritual master and then performed with faith. The connection with the spiritual master is called initiation. From the date of initiation with the spiritual initiation by the spiritual master, the connection between Krishna and a person cultivating Krishna consciousness is established. Then it is formalized, one can say. Formal. It's something like you can go and sit, go to the university and sit in a class. You can do that. You can sit, but you don't get any credit. But when you get admission to the university, then all the classes that you attend and all that you do is recognized. So initiation is a kind of formality to be recognized, to have recognition to your service to Krishna. That's the thing Prabhupada is pointing out in this introduction. Then it describes about Krishna's three kinds of energies. External, internal and marginal. I'm sure all of you know about that, these three external, three energies. Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti and Tatastha Shakti. Now the jivas, we are marginal. Marginal means we can be here in the material nature or we can be in the spiritual nature. It's up to us whether we want to be in the material platform or in the spiritual platform. Now what is the difference between material and spiritual? Material is the region or material is the world where we put ourselves as the center. That is material. When you put ourselves in the, as the center, is material. But when you put Krishna as the center, that is spiritual. So the point he is making is devotional service is rendered not on the material platform, but on the spiritual. Because it is being executed for Krishna. And of course there is the spiritual world, where Krishna is situated as the center. This introduction is very important because it actually gives us, it prepares us for the Nectar of Devotion course. And when one engages in activities under the internal spiritual energy, his activities are called Krishna conscious or devotional service. This means that those who are great souls or great devotees do not act under the spell of material energy but act instead under the protection of the spiritual energy. Any activity done in devotional service or in Krishna consciousness are directly under the control of spiritual energy. In other words, energy is a sort of strength, and this strength can be spiritualized by the mercy of both the bona fide spiritual master and Krishna. So when we act in order to please Krishna, then we are not acting on the material plane. Although we may be in the material world, just now the way we are. We are in the material world. But if we do something for Krishna, if we become engaged in serving Krishna, are we in the material nature or in the spiritual nature? In Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Lord Chaitanya states that it is a fortunate person who comes in contact with the bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. The verse goes like Brahmanda Bhramite Kono Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. It's by the mercy of Krishna that one gets a spiritual master, and by the mercy of spiritual master that one gets Krishna. And then in the introduction Prabhupada is saying, when you speak of Krishna, we refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead along with His many expansions. Krishna is not alone. Krishna is with His expansions. His incarnations are one expansion. His devotees are another kind of expansions. One is Krishna himself expands, and when Krishna expands in minute, independent, in individual identities, jivas. And when the jivas turn towards him, they become devotees. And Krishna is surrounded by those devotees. Prabhupada was very, very particular about not painting Krishna just alone. Once a devotee painted Krishna just alone, and Prabhupada was very upset. He said, no, Krishna is never alone. Krishna is with Radharani, Krishna is all with, Krishna is with the cowherd boys, or Krishna is with the gopis, or at least Krishna is with the cows. Even if not cows, Krishna is with his monkeys. So that is how Krishna is always surrounded by his devotees. Krishna is always doing something, always having an exchange. Krishna is not just alone. Okay, I'll just come to the end of it. I'll just go to the last two paragraphs. So, Rupa Goswami quoted from Narada Pancharatra, one should be free from all material designation. In order to become engaged in devotional service, one should be completely free from all material designation and must be cleansed of all material contamination. He should be restored to his pure identity, in which he engages his senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses. Sarva-upadhi binirmuktam. Sarva-upadhi binirmuktam. Free from all material designation. Tat-paratvena nirmalam. In this way, one becomes nirmal or purified. When we become free from material designation, then only we become completely purified. Then Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Vichyate. In this way he is defining bhakti. When one engages his senses in the service of the master of the senses, Krishna, Rishikesha. Rishik means senses, Rishika Isha means the master of the senses. So that is called bhakti. In our conditional state, our senses are engaged in serving those bodily demands. When the same senses are engaged in executing the order of Krishna, our activities are called bhakti. Generally, our senses are engaged in gratifying our senses. But when they become engaged in serving Krishna, then that is devotion. As long as one identifies himself as belonging to a certain family, a certain society, or a certain person, he is said to be covered with designation. When one is fully aware that he does not belong to any family, society, or country, but is eternally related to Krishna, he then realizes that his energy should be employed not in the interests of so-called family, society, or country, but in the interest of Krishna. This is purity of purpose and the platform of pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a nectar of devotion, is simply guiding us to that goal. Why are we here? To become pure devotees. Right? Do we have any other agenda? No. We should not have any other agenda. Sarva-upadhi binirmuktam. We do not want anything. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. We have nothing to desire in the material nature. In the material nature, people want wealth, they want name and fame, they want the association of beautiful women. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us how to pray to Krishna. Krishna, we don't want any of those things. All I want is to serve you, life, afterwards. Serving Krishna is the only objective we have. Thank you all very much. Does anybody have any question? Yes?
You said we should act in the order of Krishna, but how to know that it is Krishna's order to do something?
Yeah, it's not that you should act on the order of Krishna, you should act on the order of the spiritual master, who is a representative of Krishna. And he knows what Krishna wants.
What if one, he didn't have any spiritual master, so?
He should find one. You see, we need to have a spiritual master for two reasons, for three reasons actually. One is to get the mantra. Because mantras were kept as a secret in the past. So it's only through the process of initiation one could get the mantra. And by meditating on the mantra one could practice the spiritual, one could begin the spiritual. But in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So for mantra, we don't need a guru. Mahaprabhu has given Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But we need a spiritual master in order to surrender. As it has been pointed out, that I'll just read it. You see, the connection with the spiritual master is called initiation. Okay, then I'll just skip that point. Well, that part. Without initiation by a bona fide spiritual master, the actual connection with Krishna consciousness is never performed. So the connection to Krishna is established through the spiritual master. So and how does it happen? This has been explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita as Diksha Kali Shishya Kare Atma Samarpan Shei Kali Krishna Tare Kare Atma Samarpan. At the time of initiation, one offers himself to the spiritual master. Atma Samarpan. And Shei Kale, at that time, Krishna Tare Kare Atma Samarpan. At that time, Krishna accepts him. You see, the devotee surrenders himself to Krishna through the spiritual master. The devotee surrenders to the spiritual master. And who is the spiritual master? He is an agent of Krishna. Through the agency of the spiritual master, Krishna now accepts him. So for the second reason for initiation, is to surrender to him, and through him, through the spiritual master, establishes relationship with Krishna. And the third consideration, as it has been mentioned, you see, you need to know what you should do for Krishna. As you say, you cannot hear Krishna, what Krishna wants. You can at the most speculate, but then you don't really know whether Krishna will accept it. But when the spiritual master says, then it is established. Like, then it is Krishna's desire. Then you know, or the disciple knows, that it is the spirit, this is what Krishna wants me to do. And with full faith he does that. Therefore, yes, it is important to have a spiritual. We need somebody to tell you where you are at and what you should do. Alright?
And we should act whatever be his guidance.
You see, another consideration, good point. You see, that leads us to another point. You see, in the material nature, we all are independent. That's our problem. Now, our conditioning in the material, our imprisonment in the material nature is because we wanted to be independent. Therefore, we have to surrender to Krishna. But the surrender takes place through the agency of the spiritual master. How am I going to surrender to Krishna? How am I going to give up my independence? Say for example, somebody says, I don't need a spiritual master. What he's actually saying? I don't have to give up my independence. Isn't it? But the whole process is a process of giving up your independence and surrendering. The process is sharanagati, surrender. Surrender means sacrificing your independence. Yes, Sandeep? You see, it's a very, very good point. Love is spontaneous, love is natural. That means it cannot be artificially developed. It should naturally happen. But there is a process of developing that love. That is exposure to the object of love. Right? See, a young boy comes across a beautiful young girl and he automatically feels something within his heart. Right? And that is love. Now, that love actually should be offered to Krishna. It was meant to be offered to Krishna. But Krishna is beyond our sense perception. Therefore, we have to hear about Krishna. And by hearing about Krishna, we'll get to know Krishna. As you get to know Krishna, as you get to know about Krishna's qualities, Krishna's activities, Krishna's wonderful nature, Krishna's wonderful beauty, then if that love, this is the process that we practice, exposing ourselves to Krishna through the process of hearing. That is how we get to know Krishna. And then we will see how it works. That's why the process has to be followed. That is the aspect of bhakti in the preliminary stage known as sadhana bhakti, devotional service in bhakti. We don't know Krishna. But we get to know Krishna through hearing. And then it happens. And then we practice and then eventually what happens? One fine morning, we find Krishna standing in front of us. Take the mic first.
Yeah.
So Maharaj, that is basically a final goal that you have said in one morning you can see the Krishna in front of you. But to reach that goal, that should be a stepping stone in sort of reciprocation.
The stepping stone is the sadhana bhakti.
Yeah. And what are the benchmarks and how we know that we are going in the right direction and we are getting reciprocation on that point?
That's why you have to come into ISKCON, read Prabhupada's book. That is the, you know, and then we see, we get the proof. It works. To begin with, you know, like at the beginning I asked how many of you became devotees by reading Prabhupada's book, so many hands went up. What does it actually mean? Reading Prabhupada's books, it made so much sense that the faith became spontaneous. It became, yes, this is true. This makes sense. That is the proof. And then as we practice, we get the result. Like we see the devotees, we associate with them, we see how wonderful they are, we see that how dedicated they are in serving Krishna, how wonderfully they have developed their love for Krishna. And in this way we naturally feel inspired. It is a practical process. You practice it properly, the result will be. It's like Do you know how to ride a bicycle? Huh? What did you have to do at first? Did you just jump onto the bicycle and started riding it? You had to practice. Now, could you question, I mean, what is the proof that if I practice then I learn to ride the bicycle? Did you have any doubt at that time? No, you accepted it, yes. In order to ride the bicycle, this is what I have to do. And you did that and you learned how to ride a bicycle. Similarly, Krishna consciousness is a practical process. You practice it and you yourself will see how it works. Yes?
Maharaj, you mentioned that without accepting a spiritual master, one is not actually connected to Krishna. And I totally believe in your words. Now, sometimes we hear stories of different persons that accidentally they perform some devotional service and they attain the Supreme Goal. And my question also is, we see so many young devotees or gurukulis, they have attraction for the holy name, they perform certain services, they don't get initiated. So are they connected with Krishna or not? Because if they put love in what they are doing, that is my question.
Yeah. You see, the ultimate consideration is, you know, giving up your independence. You know, unless and until you give up your independence, you know, the process of devotion will not happen. Like, you know, and eventually they will, and besides that, maybe officially they didn't surrender, but they surrendered. They appreciate the senior devotees, they appreciate Srila Prabhupada, they appreciate his movement, they developed a taste for the holy name. So maybe they haven't officially surrendered to a bona fide spiritual master, but they have surrendered. It's working and it will happen. Give them some time, don't rush them.
No,
I'm just saying.
Because
like
they wonder, you know, they're themselves.
Yes. Yeah, this.
I was curious, including me and some other ladies here, and I don't know who else. I still don't have a spiritual master, and I was wondering what is the correct process to finding a spiritual master, because I have been looking, but I just don't, nothing's happening. And I know we can't rush these things, but I'm just curious what's the correct process to go about doing that.
Yeah, very good. Very good point. You see, the process that has been prescribed in ISKCON is that first you accept Srila Prabhupada as the spiritual master. Right? When one joins, like that is how the GBC is directing the devotees. When somebody joins the movement, he accepts Srila Prabhupada as the spiritual master. Preeminent Shiksha Guru. Right? Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's institution, Prabhupada's direction. And then in course of your day-to-day activities, you develop a relationship with some representatives of Srila Prabhupada. And then where you feel the deepest attachment or feel the confidence that here's the person who is going to guide me in my spiritual life, take me to Srila Prabhupada, you accept him as your initiating spiritual master.
So it's just when you'll just know, like you'll just feel it when you find your spiritual master.
At least you have accepted Srila Prabhupada, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
So your spiritual life began. And now you see it will be a very personal thing. Like it's a matter of relationship, it's a matter of faith. So wherever you have met, to whom you have the greatest confidence, to whom you feel, you know, the greatest submission, to whom you naturally want to surrender. And then you are prepared to accept his instructions. Then you surrender.
I guess sometimes I find it a little difficult because I've met so many wonderful gurus, and wonderful Maharaja, so it's a kind of takes discerning, because I mean, of course, we have so many people.
Yeah, then probably the next consideration will be the practical aspect of it. Like, who is closest, who is, you know, to whom you have the most access. There may be so many spiritual masters, so many senior devotees. But you have to consider, you know, like, okay, some senior devotees are very wonderful, but they can't hardly come to the temple where I am, or the area where I am. Rather, let me select somebody who is more available and who I'll have more access to. Because we need a spiritual master to clarify our doubts and establish us in knowledge. So that means, you know, there is a need for reciprocation. So wherever the reciprocation will be most practical, that should be another consideration. But ultimately it's a matter of your heart. You know. Just see where your heart is attracted to. Let it not be an artificial thing. Let it be natural. And the thing is, as I said, the most important thing is that you develop your relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And you're doing it. When you're serving, when you're reading, who you're serving Srila Prabhupada's arrangement. So you're serving Srila Prabhupada. You're serving Srila Prabhupada's devotees. You are reading books, and you are hearing classes. All the speakers, those who are speaking, what they are actually speaking from, Srila Prabhupada's teaching. So Prabhupada is our principal spiritual master in ISKCON. And then our initiating spiritual master is linking us to Srila Prabhupada, and our Shiksha Gurus, our instructing spiritual masters are revealing Prabhupada's teachings and establishing our faith in Srila Prabhupada. Okay?
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Is it okay to take initiation from someone who you only have access to through lectures and things?
Again, it's up to you. If you feel that is going to help you, that is helping you, and that is how you can establish your relationship. Yes? Why not?
Okay.
Because ultimately, you see, we are functioning in a structure of the institution. That is what is important. And everyone is within this structure. Like when you are in ISKCON, you are within a structure. Like, it's not that your spiritual life is dependent only upon your relationship with your spiritual master. Your spiritual life is very much dependent upon the local temple, the local devotees, and you know, this is how your spiritual life is secured by this, you know, arrangement that Srila Prabhupada made through ISKCON. So what really matters is that you remain in ISKCON, and in order to remain in ISKCON, you establish your specific relationship. And one such relationship is with your spiritual master. Yes?
If we're trying to accept Srila Prabhupada as our spiritual master, what advice would you give to us? Because I think when he was on this planet, it was easier for a devotee to hear the words directly from him and do exactly what he says. But now, looking at some of the advice that he's given, a lot of times it's very strict, you know, you must chant 6 year-olds, you must do this, you must. And maybe for some of us it's hard for us to always do everything that he wants. So when you say accept Srila Prabhupada as your spiritual master, I just wonder, like, does that mean try to do everything Srila Prabhupada says, or just do it strictly, or like for someone who says, oh, I'm not ready to take that step yet, what advice would you give?
Well, you can do one thing. You can tell Srila Prabhupada, I'm not able to chant 16 rounds. and see what he says. He is in your heart. He'll guide you. One thing I can tell you, Prabhupada was strict in one hand, but Prabhupada was extremely kind at the same time. To give an example, some devotee was Vrindavan temple was being constructed at that time. And one devotee was so engaged in serving, taking care of the construction, that he couldn't chant his rounds. And some other devotees complained to Srila Prabhupada that he is not able to chant his, he is not chanting his rounds. Prabhupada said, for him it's all right. So, but at the same time, for the sake of the institution, we have to have certain standard. We can't, break that, because then the structure will be affected. So, I mean, if you can't chant 16 rounds, may I ask you, why not?
No, that was just an example.
Okay. And now that Srila Prabhupada gives that instruction, every guru in ISKCON will give you that same instruction.
Yeah, no, I was thinking that, like, an example.
Because every guru's business is to repeat Srila Prabhupada's instruction. That's the standard. You see, we are not functioning in our own institution. We are functioning on in Srila Prabhupada's institution.
I guess I should have given an example more specifically to what I was referring to. Like, I hear some devotees say, like, oh, well, that's the way it was in the 60s or in the 70s, but this is 2011, so you don't have to be like so strict, like have any more with things like etiquette and following the Vedic culture.
Okay,
that's more what I was thinking.
Our objective actually is not to just chant 16 rounds. What Prabhupada's ultimate instruction was? Chant 24 hours a day. Chant all the time. So that is the pure devotional platform, means you're constantly absorbed in chanting the glory of Krishna. 16 rounds is just one prerequisite, right? And the thing is, ultimately, it's all a matter of becoming absorbed in Krishna consciousness. 16 rounds is just a prerequisite. But the main objective is to be absorbed in Krishna's thoughts all the time. And you are practicing it by chanting 16 rounds. Now, if you say you are absorbed in Krishna's thoughts and Krishna's service all the time, then I have nothing to say. Are you absorbed 24 hours a day?
I'm sorry?
Are you absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day? Okay, so to come to that platform, you have to start off with 16 rounds.
Right, 16 rounds, I shouldn't have said that.
Thank you.
I don't know where that came from. That's not where I meant.
Okay, I mean, if you say that, things have to be done in a certain way.
Right, I'm talking about...
Like, for example, yesterday after the 24-hour kirtan, when they asked me to say something, one of the things I just mentioned, I just honestly admitted, you see, during our times, in the early days, our whole emphasis was in preaching and rendering service, expanding the movement. To tell you frankly, we couldn't really get into kirtan so much those days. But I feel happy that, these young boys and girls are so much absorbed in the holy name. I mean, I envy them that they develop such a taste for the holy name. So this is how things are changing. This is how things are changing with time. Like in mid-60s, early 70s, we are in a certain way. In the 21st century beginning, we are in some other way. Like we are developing, like our movement is growing in another dimension. And this is all positive. And Prabhupada will appreciate it. Prabhupada will never say that don't chant 24 hours Kirtan. Prabhupada will never say. Prabhupada will say, wonderful. Go and start doing it everywhere. All over the world. That's how this movement is going to spread. So with time, the change that will take place is in order to enhance our movement, not to detriment the movement. Alright? Yes, Anjali? No. Okay. Give it to Mother Krishna, please.
I just had a small comment to make as I was listening to the discussion about finding a spiritual master and the young ladies were anxious to find a spiritual master. So just from experience over the years, I think it felt kind of in a motherly way, you know, to speak to them that accepting a spiritual master is so very important. And when you make such an important decision in your life, that requires patience and the understanding that Krishna will reciprocate and will reveal to you who is the proper spiritual master. In the same way, like with any decision, it's important to have discrimination. So there are so many wonderful Vaishnavas that are serving Srila Prabhupada. And just as we have our own psychophysical nature, the different spiritual masters, they also have different psychophysical natures. Mm. And they have different lifestyles. Even within ISKCON, they might follow the same rules and regulations and follow all the same principles that Srila Prabhupada has given us and be bona fide. But at the same time,
they're different individuals.
They're different individuals. And we're different individuals. So it's really important, like in any relationship that you form, that you, which in the beginning days we didn't know this, we just kind of did things a lot out of sentiment or emotion, but it's really important that you accept a spiritual master who you can relate to, and when he speaks, you feel happy to hear him speak, and you can relate to his approach of presenting Krishna consciousness, because you'll find within Krishna consciousness amongst bona fide spiritual masters within our movement, like any other movement, if you look sociologically, you have the left and you have the right and you have the middle. And so there are different opinions within devotional service. They can be bona fide. There's so many different aspects. So it's important that one accept a spiritual master who is, that they can personally, like Pachachuth Maharaj was saying, surrender to. That they have that trust that this spiritual master is living a lifestyle that I respect and that I relate to. And that his approach to Krishna consciousness is something that feels natural to me. That it doesn't feel strained. So it's a long-term thing, just like when sometimes, when someone's going to get married, there's all this emotion, there's all this charisma, and all this excitement. But where is it going to be 20 years from now? So when we're accepting a spiritual master, it's not just this lifetime. We're accepting a spiritual master, so it has to go beyond the charisma, beyond the external, but who can I monitor things? Who can I really surrender to? Who can I hear to? Who can I hear from nicely? Whose words really go into my heart? That when I hear them speak, I feel a sense of satisfaction. And that's a very personal thing. So if one goes in front of the deities and they pray to the deities with all sincerity, Krishna will reveal. I just wanted to, I don't want to take up everyone's time, but I just wanted to share that we're individuals and different spiritual masters are individuals, and to find a person that can really inspire you and that you can trust and surrender. Because sometimes people do things out of sentiment and then in the future cause problems. There's different difficulties that way. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Maharaj, two questions. You were talking about the five rasas that everybody shares with Krishna, one or more of rasas. You mentioned that Krishna is the restorer of all rasas, and his name is Akhila Rasa something, which I...
Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Murti.
Okay.
The embodiment of all the memories.
And we have forgotten that relationship with Krishna, and accepting a spiritual master, what in that connection, how is it revealed to us, that relationship with Krishna? Is it revealed to us?
Well, the spiritual master guides you in your spiritual life, and by practicing the process in course of time, and as your heart becomes purified, then your relationship with Krishna, which is eternal, will automatically be revealed to you. It'll be automatically established. Like, you see, when the purification of heart means purification of the soul. When the soul is free from all material contaminations, all material coverings, then the soul will develop its soul spiritual identity, spiritual form will automatically develop, and that form is in relation to his service to Krishna. So that is how it will naturally happen. What was your second question?
The name,
Akhila Rasamrita.
And then the connection with spiritual master in the revelation of God.
Yeah. Mother Nanda, do you want to have any comment?
Yes.
Yeah.
Closing comments.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Hare Krishna. So thank you very much, Maharaj. We appreciate you taking the time and enlightening us in this way, and we look forward to tomorrow's class.